Right. I want to share with you today two ways that God expresses himself to us, through provision and presence, and both are very needed. If we can't relate correctly to the provision of God, and what I mean by that is the way he provides for our life, it's never the way that we would choose. We'd always want to make some corrections if we were in a place to do so. But God provides for us, and his reason for his provision is not just to take care of us, but to teach us to trust him. And if we can't relate correctly to the provision of the Lord, then we're not prepared for the promise of God being fulfilled. And we go back to the Israelites in the wilderness when they were passing through, and of course, God took care of them in a supernatural way, but they were complaining about it. It wasn't the way that they wanted to be taken care of. And you can imagine, I mean, manna from heaven dropping every night, every day there was food for them. But, you know, let's say the family had a bad night and an argument the night before. They're wondering, well, is there going to be food out there for us tomorrow, or is God going to be mad at us? And you think of all the human drama we go through emotionally. It required trust and faith for God to take care of them. Water out of a rock. The health he provided for them, care, food. In Deuteronomy 8:2, it says, "The Lord God led you in the wilderness so that he might humble you to know what was in your heart and mind, whether you would keep his word or not." So here's God leading a people in a miraculous way, and you think they're out of Egypt. They're out of slavery. They've got God performing miracles on a daily basis for them. What's not to be happy about? Well, whenever God is leading us, and the wilderness, of course, is our journey through life, he wants to humble us so that he can see, and that we, more importantly, we can see what's in our heart and mind. So when God is in control, he's doing wonderful things, but at the same time, he's exposing our heart and mind. And that's what we struggle with. Verse 16, he said, "I fed you manna so that you might, so it might humble you, that you can depend on me." He fed them manna that their fathers didn't know. It was a food they're not familiar with. It's all they needed. But the process of the way he fed them humbled them, so that they had to rely on him and depend on him. And that's what they struggled with. And that's why when God called them out of Egypt, there were two things he was calling them to. One was the promise of their own land. The second was to come to his mountain and worship him. He wanted to make provision and presence known for all of them. Whenever we simply focus on the provision of God and want fulfillment of what he's spoken to us, without presence, we fall short. Because if God doesn't take the journey with us, we're not going to be prepared to enjoy the blessings of his word being fulfilled. That seems contrary to us. We think, God, if you give me what I want, I'll be happy. Remember the saying, beware of what you ask for. God can give us everything we want. It doesn't mean we're going to be fulfilled inside if we're not connected with his presence. The human ego and the way we're created is with a giant hole inside. And people in life will try with the ego to cover over that hole, accomplish much, get much, possessions, take on more and more. Yet that hole is never filled by anything that we can do in ourselves. That hole is filled by God's provision for us and his presence. We're called to be the temple of God. That's what the scripture says. God himself inhabits us. So how can we ever have a sense of fulfillment and a sense of well-being unless we know that God's presence has made his home in our heart? And through Jesus Christ, he has. We just need to be aware of it. Deuteronomy 1:31, "In the wilderness you saw how the Lord your God carried and protected you as a man carries his son in the way that you traveled. But still, you did not trust me. Powerful statement. When we learn to trust God, our view of our journey changes. Without trust, we feel very alone in life. We feel we're struggling just to survive. We're struggling to get ahead. We're struggling to get past our problems. And maybe we have people in our life that help and reinforce us, but it's a very lonely journey. When we learn to trust God, our awareness changes, and we realize that the reality of life, this life, is God is carrying us through. It doesn't mean we don't have problems or bumps in the road or things we struggle with or challenges, but he's carrying us as a father carries a son. In other words, we get to know that he is a loving father, and by his presence, he's carrying us through this earthen journey. Only trust gives us that true awareness of how God relates to us as human beings. He said, even though I did this, you did not trust me. Again, if we can't relate to God's provision correctly and trust him, we're not ready for the promise that we seek. Think about the book of Joshua when the Israelites inhabited the land. They dispossessed the giants. They took it over. God was with them in miraculous ways. But that first generation in the wilderness that had to die out, they were always complaining about the way God was doing things. And they're saying, oh, we want to go back to Egypt. We want to be slaves. It was better for us then. In their minds, they weren't prepared for the promised land. They wanted to be free, but they weren't prepared for the responsibility of freedom. It's as we travel through our wilderness and learn to trust God, that provision that he brings us and the trust that develops in us prepares us for the freedom and fulfillment of the words he has for our life. We say, why are there so many delays to words I believe for? What we never seem to look at is, are we ready for those words to happen? It's hard to be aware of our own heart and mind and our level of maturity. But God is very aware of that. As you develop in trusting God, that simple truth, you mature and develop before him. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. When we trust in the Lord and that becomes a way we relate to God in trust, we experience a filling of what? Joy and peace. That's where the rest is found. That's where the joy is found. Can we have peace and joy apart from trust? I don't think so. Now, in the journey in the wilderness, there were three people I want to mention, Moses, Joshua, Caleb, that were different from the rest. When they looked at the giants that the other spies saw, when they looked in the new land, instead of being filled with fear, they looked and saw that God had already given it to them. They had had a change of thinking because they were exposed to presence. Remember Moses' cry, Lord, show me your glory. Show me who you are. Joshua and Caleb had that same desire in their heart. They just wanted to be near the presence of God. When he connects with us by presence, it's not just a lesson in trust. Our thinking changes. You cannot be in the presence of God and stay the same way in the way that you think about yourself in life. And that's what happened with them. That's why they were eager to go into the land. They thought differently about the giants, about what was ahead. Why? Because the presence of God had changed their thinking. Moses said to the Lord, God was so frustrated with the Israelites, he said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to honor my word. I'll give you the land, but I don't want to go with you. Moses said, if you're not going, I'm not going. In other words, he said, don't just make my life better, God. If you're not going with me, And I don't want to be there. I don't want the promise fulfilled unless your presence is going to be with me in that fulfillment. So presence changes the very motivation of our heart. By nature, we're selfish, self-absorbed. We want God to do for us. And if God says, I'll do for you, but I'm not going to show up, just do what I want. But when presence has changed the motivation of our heart, we realize that being with God is even greater than what he gives us and how he blesses us. Like Moses, if you're not going to go, I don't want to go. It's not enough that you fulfill your word. You've got to be there with us as that word is fulfilled. The hole that we fill within our lives, again, cannot be filled with the ego. Only answered is, it's filled, of course, by his provision, and his presence fills that deepest longing that we have inside. We're created to be his temple, where his presence dwells. That cry for Abba, Father, is a cry for God's presence to fill those deepest longings that we have. There's a part of you that cannot be answered, no matter how many good things come your way. Only God dwelling there and you being aware of God dwelling there can fill that hole. I want to talk about the Mount of Transfiguration. This is very important. This has to do with presence. It's found in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And first question is why? Why did Jesus need to be transfigured? God does not waste words and he does not waste action. Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He was filled with the Spirit. He was healing the sick, raising the dead. He was doing the works of God. But he needed that special touch of God's glory to be transfigured to prepare him for his destiny. Now, here's the thing. We can all walk in a ministry and move in gifts of the Spirit by exercising the faith that God has given us. We can do it and still not be connected with the presence of God. We can do the gifts and have a ministry in church and still have the same old motivation where we're motivated for self-interest. But when the presence of God has touched you and that glory has touched you, what motivates you in life changes. It's no longer, it's all about me. It's all about him. That's the residue of his presence. That's what it does when it changes how we think. It's all about the Lord and about the Lord getting glory. And this is what the Mount of Transfiguration was all about. Jesus had done a wonderful job of ministry. But what was his destiny? The cross. He needed that transfiguration. He needed that time with the Father and that glory that came upon him to prepare him for the cross that he was to endure. Paul, Ephesians 4, talks about our calling. It's different than our ministry. Our calling involves our ministry, but it goes deeper. Our calling, remember Paul said, walk worthy of the calling. Walk in humility and gentleness and patience. The calling of God in your life is what reveals the Father through you. More than the gifts that he's given you, it reveals the very purpose of God in your life. So it involves the giftings, it involves faith, but it also involves the suffering and the things we go through. It involves how we identify with the cross. I like to look at it this way. You remember when the Lord spoke to Peter and said, there's coming a time. You tell Peter, you know, you used to do what you wanted to do. There's coming a time when another will lead you in a way you would not go. And I think when God interrupts our life and things don't go according to plan, and he leads us in a way that we would not have gone according to our own thinking, that's the cross. That's part of the suffering. But that's what creates within us the capacity to fulfill our calling. More than gifts, it expresses the very nature of God. So Jesus, course, the cross was quite a bit of suffering. He needed this time of transfiguration. It says in Matthew 17, his face shone like the sun, his garments were white as light. And then God reveals his agenda. Very simply, he speaks. This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Whenever the glory of God is upon us in that presence, there will always be the clarity of his voice. And God's agenda is not complicated. Right here, he says it. It's all about my son. I'm well pleased with him. Listen to him. That's it. We complicate things. Our minds are filled with thoughts. God must want so many things. And that's back under the law again, isn't it? All these commandments to fulfill. In John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29, the disciples were asking Jesus, what must we do to work the works of God? Plural, works. Jesus responded, this is the work, singular, of God. Believe in him whom he has sent. Disciples, under that conditioning of the law, what must we do to do all these things that God expects of us? Jesus says, just one thing. Just believe in me. That's all God wants. God's agenda is very simple. Mark 9 also echoes the same thing. In the book of Luke chapter 9, we get something added that I want to bring out. It also describes as Jesus is transfigured, it says his clothing became white and flashing like lightning. I can't imagine what that looks like. Something was happening to him. Again, they all talk about Moses and Elijah speaking with the Lord. But in Matthew and Mark, you don't find what they were talking about. Now, of course, we can look at it and say Moses represented the law, Elijah represented the prophet, and Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets when he went to the cross, that requirement. But in Luke, it talks about they were speaking with Jesus about his departure, going to the cross. That's Luke 9, verse 28. You start there. So they were encouraging Jesus. They were imparting to Jesus about his destiny. He'd already done his ministry for 3.5 years, but his destiny, his calling, was to die on the cross for our salvation, for our reconciliation to the Father. So that is something that's important. I think with this glory, we need to experience this glory in this presence so that we can hear about the depth of our calling and how God is leading our lives, where we can really express who the Father is to this world. The word for transfiguration, it's a Greek word for transformation, means metamorphosis, basically in English, change from one state to another. The word used for transfiguration was the same word that's used in Romans 12:3. Now, why am I bringing this out? Because I don't think we're all called to go up a high mountain and be transfigured like Jesus was. You don't find this happening again with the disciples. But we're to experience the glory in the same way. How do we experience transfiguration and glory? Okay, if it's the same word in the Greek for when he was transfigured, as in Romans 12:2, when it talks about transformation, what does it say? Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's our transfiguration. The glory of God being experienced where our thinking changes, our minds are renewed. Don't be conformed to the world. How do we break the ties with the spirit of the age? We cannot do it unless our minds are transformed to think differently. And that's what God wants to do for us. The same word is used in 2 Corinthians 3:18, where Paul talks about being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Again, that change, that transformation that takes place within us. Our thinking, our motivation of heart, all changing from one state to another. That's the transfiguration we need. to be able to fulfill our calling before God. Peter refers to this in 2 Peter chapter 1, I believe it's verse 16. He talks about being eyewitnesses of his majesty, where Jesus received honor and glory from God. He was referring to the Mount of Transfiguration and what happened. So this is relevant to us. We don't need to find a mountain somewhere and climb up on top and wait for our clothes to shine like white or flashes of lightning. But we need to climb that spiritual mountain with the Lord and let his glory and his presence happen to us, where our minds can think differently. You can't talk yourself out of your thoughts. But one of the powerful gifts and anointings of the Holy Spirit is to reveal God's presence and glory, where he can replace our patterns of thinking with his perspective and his thoughts. And as that takes place, we are being prepared to express the calling of God that's on our life. And that's going to bring the change this world is looking for. Why? Because when the world looks, they will see the Father coming through, just like they saw the Father coming through Jesus. Amen. Let's stand.